Hey, everybody. My name's Paul. I'm one of the pastors here, and I'm so glad you're joining us today as we continue in our series called How to Echo. And I got to tell you, I'm loving this series because it's all about our vision, who we are, what we're trying to do, who we're trying to become as a church family. And so just in way of review, let me tell you, the first week of this series, Pastor Andy kicked us off with a powerful message where he preached about our vision statement, which is to urgently blah, 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 blah. Bah, I knew this. Okay. And I still don't want water. Okay. I know it. I keep going back to say, you know, to love God, to love Christ, love others, and live life on purpose. Can we just change the Echo vision statement right here and not tell anybody? Okay, here we go. You tell me when. Hey, everybody, my name's Paul. I'm one of the pastors around here, and I'm so happy that you're joining us today as we continue in our series called How to Echo. And I got to tell you, I'm loving this series because it's all about our vision, who we're trying to be as a people, how we're trying to follow God. And just in way of review, let me tell you, the first week of this series, Pastor Andy kicked us off by preaching about our vision, and he reminded us that as a church, we exist to urgently lead people to say yes to Jesus and passionately follow him. And then each of the following messages, we talked about ways that we can say yes to Jesus. So the second week, we talked about saying yes to, doggone it, yes to grow. And I know this by heart, doggone it. I really do. Is the speed right? Are we?
You can probably slow it down. Just a pinch.
Okay.
Just a touch. Coming in hot.
Okay.
All right, here we go. Three.
Hey, everybody. My name's Paul. I'm one of the pastors around here, and I'm so glad you're joining us today as we continue in our series called How to Echo. And I love this series because it's bringing us back to our vision, who we are, why we're here, what we're trying to be about as a church family. So in way of reminder, in week one, Pastor Andy powerfully kicked off this series by sharing our vision statement. That as a church, we exist to urgently lead people to say yes to Jesus and passionately follow him. And then all of the following messages are just ways that we say yes to Jesus. So the next message was say yes to grow. And we grow in our relationship to God by accepting Christ, getting baptized, growing our daily devotion of spending time with Jesus every day in prayer and Bible study. And then the next week was saying yes to connecting during COVID. And in that message, Andy talked about how not only do we need God, but we need each other. And the challenge of that message was to say yes to connecting by committing to either host a group or get in an Echo group this fall. And today I have the high honor of talking to you about saying yes to serve God by serving others. And to start, I want us to look at a foundational passage found in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8, 9, and 10. And they go like this. God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. This is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. Friends, salvation is not something you work for or earn or deserve. It's something you receive as a gift when you say yes to Jesus. You see, God loved you so much that he gave his son Jesus to be your perfect gift. Like Jesus lived a perfect sinless life and then died to pay the penalty for our sins on the cross so that we could be forgiven, adopted into God's family, and have the gift of eternal life. And friends, the gift of salvation, this is what I want you to hear. Salvation is the root. It's the root of our faith. But then the passage continues by saying this in verse 10, for we are God's masterpiece. He created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things that he planned for us long ago. And what I want you to see in this passage is that God created you. First of all, he made you to love you and to have a real relationship with you, but he also made you to make a difference for good in the world. And part of God's plan and purpose for your life is for you to serve. And this is what I want you to hear. Salvation is the root, and serving is the fruit of our faith. In fact, if you're taking notes, let me encourage you to write this down, that God saved me to serve. I love how it says it in 1 Peter 4:10. It says, each one should use whatever gift he has received to what? To serve others. You see, God has given each one of us gifts and talents and resources and abilities and spiritual gifts. And God has given us to these, they're almost like tools that he wants us to use, like to build the church and build others up. And friends, listen to me. Ultimately, we find our meaning and purpose and fulfillment in life by doing the good things that God has planned for us, by saying yes to serve. And I want to ask you, if this is really true, like if God saved us to serve, and if we find our fulfillment and purpose through serving God and serving others, I'm curious, why do you think so many people say no to service? Well, I'm convinced that there's three primary reasons. And the first one goes like this. It's just simple selfishness. It's kind of like why the lobster and the crab won't share their toys. You know why? Because they're just too shellfish. Well, I think that the number one reason that people say no to serving is we're just too selfish. We're just plain selfish. And here's the real funny thing. We choose selfishness over serving because somehow we think it will make us happier. And in the end, we think it will give us a better life. But friends, Jesus exposed this as a lie that's simply not true. He said in Luke chapter 9, verses 24 and 25, he said, whoever wants to save their life will what? Will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is it for you, for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit his very self? Friends, what Jesus is saying here, he's saying, if you make your life all about you, looking out for number one, living a self-centered life, you won't find real life. You'll miss out on what real life really is. And friends, this is what we already all know to be true. We know that selfish people are sad people. But it's the number one reason people say no to service, selfishness. The second reason is not that people are selfish, but the second reason is just speed, like the speed of life, like living your life in the fast lane. And you know, this is what it sounds like living in the fast lane is, you know, I'd like to help, I'd like to serve, but I'm just too busy, just too busy. You know, I've been very convicted by this great quote from Pastor Andy Stanley, who said this, if the devil can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. Could it be that one of the reasons that we're going through this whole COVID season is that God is wanting to slow us down so we can give attention to our serve? You know, there's another pastor who gave me a great quote that I've been wrestling with, Pastor Andy Wood. And he said this, that sometimes the best way to get through a crisis is to contribute. Sometimes the best way to get through a crisis is to contribute. Meaning instead of spending a lot of time and a lot of energy stressing and worrying, what's going to happen? How am I going to get through this? How long is this thing going to last? Instead of all that, it's slowing down my life, evaluating what am I really giving my life to, shifting my priorities so that I can say yes to serving God and serving others. Well, hey, there's a third reason that people say no to service, and it's insecurity. Selfishness, speed, and insecurity. And so insecurity goes like this, like, well, I have this opportunity. It's almost like you talk yourself out of serving. Like, I don't know if I could do this well, or what if I fail, or what if I try it and mess it up? Can I tell you, in close to 40 years of walking with God, every time that God has asked me to do something, it's usually included like this combination, this mixture of both fear and faith. Fear and faith. I mean, literally, in 40 years, I've been asked to serve God in hundreds of different ways, to get baptized, to share my testimony, to lead a Bible study, to start a campus ministry, to volunteer in vacation Bible study, to go on a mission trip, to lead a high school group, to start a church, to build a new worship center, even to help merge with Echo. And can I tell you, every time I've been asked to serve, there seems to be this mixture of both fear and faith. And can I tell you, every time I'm asked to serve, this is what I try to do. I sincerely try to pray about it. And if I sense it's from God, my answer is yes in advance. I say yes in advance. And here's why. Isaiah 41:10. Isaiah 41:10 is my go-to serving survival verse. Do you know, this is one of the first promises of God that I ever memorized. And it goes like this. God promises, and he says this, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen and help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And I share this with you because I know that God has saved you to serve. He's made you to make a difference in the world. And I want to tell you, if you sense that God is asking you, like, to host a group, or to help out with Echo Kids, or to serve in our student ministry, or to volunteer with Echo Compassion, if the main thing that is holding you back is insecurity, friends, don't let fear rob you of the impact that God wants to make with you and through you and for you. See, God not only calls you to serve, but he promises to go with you and help you do it. So friends, here's the deal. Some people say no to service because of selfishness, speed, and insecurity, but not us, right? Not us, because we know God is with us, we know God will help us, and in this place, in this church, we go after greatness. We go after greatness. And I want to tell you, though I can't see you right now, there's one thing I know about your life. There's one thing that we share in common. See, I know this about you. You want your life to count. You don't want to just go through your whole life going through the motions, using up space, taking up resources. In the end, you want to make a difference for good in the world. See, you were made by a great God to live a great life. The only thing is, God has a different definition for greatness. See, Jesus defined greatness this way in Mark chapter 10, verses 43 and 44. Jesus said, "Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must" what? "Must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all." Friends, let me be clear. God's definition of greatness is not fame, fortune, and reputation. God defines greatness as servanthood. Greatness as servanthood. I got to tell you, man, that gives me hope. That gives me hope, because by the world's definition, here's the deal. Let's be honest. I'm never going to play in the Super Bowl. I'm never going to win a World Series. I'm never going to receive an Oscar for Best Performing Actor. I'm never going to sing on the big stage. But by God's definition, I love how Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., he says it so well when he says this: "Everybody can be great because everybody can serve. You only need a heart full of grace and a soul generated by love." You know, a couple weeks ago, I got to go on a trip with our Echo Crossroads student ministry. We went to the Klamath River on the Whitewater Adventure Camp, and I want to tell you, it was awesome. I got to experience firsthand watching our student leaders and our volunteers be great for God. I mean, Mike and Becca and Cheryl Ashford and Allison Day and Aaron and Brian and Melissa McDowell. I got to see them all be great for God. I mean, for the whole weekend, man, they loved and served their hearts out. And it was for over close to 30 students, they got to experience through their ministry the love of God. And friends, it was so powerful that at the end of that camp, two of our kids said yes to accepting Jesus. And can I tell you, it was awesome. It was great. And I share that because with the rest of my message, I want to invite you into that type of greatness by sharing with you three things that happen when you say yes to serve. Do you know the first thing that will happen when you say yes to serve? It changes you. Saying yes to serve, it changes me. It changes me. See, at the end of my life, I don't want to end up like the old selfish grandpa, the mean grandpa where the kids run up and they say, "Hey, granddad, can you make a noise like a frog?" And that mean selfish grandpa says, "Why in the world would I do something like that?" And they said, "Well, grandpa, grandma just said, as soon as you croak, we all go to Disneyland." Well, friends, that's kind of sad, but here's the deal. Do you know one of the primary ways that we stop selfishness from taking root in our souls is by saying yes to serving, because it changes us. You know, this hit home for me early this month when I was just having one of those really bad days. I was just so sick of COVID. Like, I'm tired of it. I went to work and everything went wrong. It's just one of those days. I think you call it Mondays, right? It's just a horrible day. I finally get home from work. I'm so happy to see my beautiful wife and our brand new puppy. We named her Blessing. Isn't she cute? Well, I get home. I come into my house. I take off my shoes. And then I realize I left my cell phone in my car. So I go out barefoot, I walk across our front lawn, and on my way to the car, man, I step in a little pile of Blessing's, well, let's just say it wasn't a Blessing. And man, I was so mad, like, ah! I was so mad, I literally yelled, "I hate this day!" And my wife heard me yell. She runs to the front door. She goes, "Oh my gosh, are you okay? What happened?" And I said, "Hey, guess what? Our little Blessing left me a Blessing on the lawn, and now my foot is covered with dog poop." And as my wife tried to stop herself from laughing in my face, she said, "Hey, honey, I'm so sorry. Let me go get you a washcloth and some water." She went in the house, and I'm standing here with dog poop all over my foot. And it's so gross that I walk over to the garden hose, and I do my best to hose my foot off as much as possible. I'm not kidding. I put the hose down. I take two steps toward our porch, and I step into another pile. Ah! Man, this day could not get worse. And I just go, man, I was so mad. And I started talking under my breath like, "Oh my gosh, why am I the only one who picks up the poop around here? Would it kill one of them to clean up after this stupid dog? Man, I'm hating life today." And so here's what I do. My wife brings out the washcloth and the water, and I'm sitting down on our front porch, and I just start washing off my foot. And as I'm doing that, like, the Holy Spirit speaks to me. And not in a weird way, not in like a physical voice, but like in my heart, the Holy Spirit just says to me, "Hey, what you're doing right here is exactly what I did when I washed the disciples' feet." Andy talked about that a little bit last week. And I'm sitting there, and it just brought me back to one of the most life-changing stories found in the Bible. In John chapter 13, it starts out in verse 3, and it says this: "Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything, and that he had come from God, and that he would return to God." And friends, I want you to capture this because Jesus had clarity on who he was and where he was going. He knew he was God's son. He knew he had all authority, all power. He was God and he knew it. And he also knew that he was returning to his Father in heaven. And friends, because Jesus had clarity on who he was and where he was going, he was free to serve. He was free to get down and dirty and care for the needs of others. He was free to do ministry without this insecurity and worrying what other people might think about him. And I say all that because I want to ask you the same question. Do you know who you are? Do you know where you're going? Can you say with clarity, I know who I am. I'm God's child because I said yes to Jesus. And I know God loves me and I belong to him. And I know where I'm going. Like when I die, I know I'm going to heaven. Friends, do you know it? Well, you can have clarity even on this day. Well, the story continues in John 13, verses 4 and 5. It says, so he got up from the table. He took off his robe. He wrapped a towel around his waist. He poured water in a basin. And then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that he had around him. Now, hey, just a little context on foot washing back in Jesus' day. You know, foot washing was just as necessary in Jesus' day as hand washing is for us in this COVID season. I mean, it just had to happen. Friends, you know, in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago, there were no paved sidewalks, no manicured lawns, no concrete driveways to park your camel, and the streets were just filthy. They were dirty and muddy and dusty with animal feces, and people walked around in simple sandals. And let me tell you, at the evening meal, they would recline at the table, which meant usually there are no chairs, and nobody wanted dirty feet near their food. And so foot washing, when a guest arrived in your home, it was just common courtesy to provide a foot washing. But you need to understand, friends, like I was washing my foot that day, it's a dirty, yucky job. It's the lowest job done by the lowest of servants. And it wasn't that foot washing was embarrassing or out of the ordinary. It just was, who's responsible for doing the foot washing? Only someone with the lowest status would be giving that job. And can I tell you, what makes this scene even more embarrassing is shortly before this dinner, on the way to the dinner, the disciples were arguing about which one of them was the greatest and which one would have the highest position, highest rank in the new kingdom. And then this is what happens. I want you to see it. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he takes a towel and a basin and he gets down on his hands and knees and he pours water over their dirty feet. And then he takes a towel and he washes their feet one by one. And I want to tell you this. I want you to capture this. Man, can you imagine this moment that the Son of God is washing it? I mean, I want you to picture this. It would be as if the Queen of England came to your house for dinner, and while sharing that meal, she volunteered to clean your toilet. I mean, that's how awkward, that's how embarrassing it was for the disciples to have their feet washed by Jesus. And then after he finishes, he gets up, and then he tells them exactly why he did it. In John 13, verses 12 through 17, Jesus says this, and since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done for you. Now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing them. Jesus was saying, in the same way that I served you by meeting a basic common need, I did this as an example for you to follow. This is how I want you to care for and serve one another. I want you to live in a way that when you see a need, you jump in and serve. And friends, if you live this way, God will bless you for it. He'll bless your life. And I want to tell you, I want to come back to this moment, because as I sat there washing my feet and thinking about this, man, it just hit me that Jesus didn't just wash the disciples' feet. Man, he also washed my feet and your feet. He washed away all the dirt and grime and crud. Man, he got down and dirty to meet our needs, to care for our souls, to make us clean, to invite us to his table and call us one of his own. And friends, when I thought of that, man, something shifted in my heart in that moment. Man, it changed me. I went from mad and grumpy to grateful and energized to serve, because I remember how Jesus first served me. And friends, when you really get that, not just in your head, but in your heart, it changes you. It changes you. And I want to tell you, when you start serving, here's the funny thing. You think by you serving, you think you're helping others, but most of the time, you walk away feeling like you were the one who was blessed for serving. I absolutely love this quote from doctor, philosopher, famous musician, Albert Schweitzer, who said this. He says, "I don't know what your destiny will be, but one thing I know, the only ones among you who will be truly happy are those who have sought and found how to serve." See, serving changes me. But there's a second thing that happens. When you say yes to serve, I want you to hear this. Serving inspires others. Serving inspires others. In fact, I was so inspired by so many of you who gave out these hope boxes that went around the whole Bay Area. Do you know that over 600 boxes went out? And I know for a fact that this simple act of love and service helped people experience God's love in some beautiful ways. And I want you to know that when you handed out these boxes, that you did exactly what Jesus told us to do in Matthew 5:16, when he said, "In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father." See, here's what I want you to hear, that sometimes a simple act of service can point people to our Savior. Let me say that again. Sometimes a simple act of service can point people to our Savior, because service inspires others. Friends, I got my first taste of that when I was just 17 years old as a brand new believer. I was out detailing my car, and while I was praying, imagine this, I'm a brand new Christian, and I'm praying, washing my car, cleaning the windows, detailing. And I pray and I say, "Hey, God, my prayers, I want you to make me great for you. God, I want to do great things for you. I want to live a great life for you." And let me tell you, at that point, I didn't know God's definition of greatness. I didn't know greatness meant servanthood. But as I'm washing my car, again, God speaks to me. Like, I get this sense in my heart. And it's like God said, "Okay, you want to be great? And here's what I want you to do. Wash Andy's windshield." Not Pastor Andy, but my next door neighbor, Andy Rodriguez. And I really questioned that. I said, "Well, God, no, I don't think you really mean that," because my next door neighbor, Andy, man, he was this big, mean construction worker. He was yelling all the time. Every Friday night, he'd come out to his truck and he'd sit on his tailgate, drink a case of beer. He'd play his music real loud to past midnight. And to be honest, I was just kind of scared of the guy. I'm saying, and secondly, I was arguing with God a little bit, like, "God, I don't think you really know what you're asking me, because Andy's truck, like, to wash his windshield, he has one of those really big trucks. And so for me to wash his windshield, like, I would have to climb on the hood of his car." And I got to tell you, I was kind of scared, but God just, like, said it again. "If you want to be great, wash Andy's windshield." So I'm kind of scared that this whole fear and faith thing coming up again. So here's what I do. I have my little Windex. I have my paper towel. I'm looking around to make sure no one can see me. And as quick as I can, man, I just climb on top of Andy's car. And man, I start washing his windshield as fast as I can. When all of a sudden, while I'm washing his windshield, man, I hear this door slam behind me. And then I hear someone yell, "What the heck are you doing on my car?" And actually, he didn't say heck. It was something a little more colorful. Man, as quick as I could, I jumped off the car and I said, "I'm sorry, I was just washing your windshield." And man, his face turned so red and he was shaking. And I'm going like, "Thanks a lot, God. Now he's going to kill me." And he turned around. He wouldn't even look at me. And he turned around. And then when he turned to face me, friends, tears were just coming down his face. This is what he said. He said, "I have to yell at my kids to get them to do anything for me. And here you wash my windshield without even being asked. Why would you do that?" And can I tell you, in that moment, man, a miracle happened. A miracle happened. My neighbor, Andy, went from a neighbor that I was afraid of to a friend that I can talk to God, talk about God with. Man, I remember we sat on the back of his tailgate and we talked about God and drank some beer. No, not kidding about that part. We talked about God. And in that moment, it was one of the first times where I felt great for God. And it changed me. But not only that, it inspired Andy to consider that God loved him and cared about his life. Friends, do you know, here's the deal. Man, when you say yes to serve, it changes you, but also inspires others. But there's one last thing I want you to hear. When you say yes to serve, man, it touches God. It touches God's heart. Did you know in Matthew 25, Jesus was talking about the final judgment, and he said to those who had somehow found a way to get over their selfishness, slow down their busyness, to overcome their insecurity, to those who said yes to serve, he said these words. He said, "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, my Father has blessed you. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you took me into your home. I needed clothes and you gave me something to wear. I was sick and in prison and you came to visit me and take care of me.'" And now I want you to see at the exact moment how serving touches the very heart of God. Because in verse 37, this is what Jesus said. "Then the people who have God's approval will reply to him, 'Lord, when? When did we see you hungry and feed you? When did we see you thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you as a stranger and take you into our homes or see you in need of clothes and give you something to wear? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?' And then the king will answer them, 'I can guarantee this truth. Whatever you did for one of my brothers or sisters, no matter how unimportant they seemed, you did it for me. You did it for me. You touched my heart.'" See, this is what Jesus is saying here, that our service touches God. It matters to God. And friends, when you say yes to serve, when you care for someone in need, when you teach a child, encourage a teenager, volunteer with Echo Compassion, even hook up with the trash punks to do community cleanup, friends, it touches God's heart and Jesus receives it as if you're doing it for him. Now, hey, as we wrap things up, I just want to say, I know for some of you, let's just be honest. Right now, man, some of you, you're just stuck. You're stuck. COVID is really doing a number on you. And you are so angry and exhausted and overwhelmed. And you're wondering, when will this ever get better? And you're just jumping in on our services, just hoping to get some encouragement so you can get through another week of COVID. Well, friends, can I tell you that sometimes the antidote for needing ministry is doing ministry. What's going to get you out of your funk? What's going to help you refocus your soul? What's going to get you re-energized in your life? Well, friends, sometimes the antidote to needing ministry is doing ministry, saying yes to serve. In fact, one of our biggest opportunities to serve is right now. You can sign up to host a Talk It Over group this fall. And can I tell you, it's so simple. You can do this. It just means you get a small group together and you can meet by Zoom, or most will be by Zoom, or you can even meet physically. You come together and you basically do three things. Hey, how's your week going? What hit you from the message? And how can we pray for one another? Friends, it's so simple. And I want to tell you, if you say yes to serve by hosting a group or any of the other opportunities that God brings your way, this is what I know will happen. It will change you, it will inspire others, and it will touch God. And that's something I can say yes to. How about you? Let's pray together. Father, I sincerely thank you for every person watching this message. And God, I pray that you would show up in such a powerful way and remind us that you saved us because you loved us, but you also saved us to serve. And Father, help us to battle against selfishness and slow down our speed enough and to overcome our insecurity so that we can serve you in a way that would change our hearts, inspire others, and bring joy to you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, hey, everybody, thank you so much for letting me share this message with you. And I'm going to throw it back to our hosts, and God bless you, everyone.